The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or should I say, channelradio.co.uk.
Ooh.
We have our big news to tell you, but first of all, I need to tell you what's going on here, or not going on
yes,
here. We are in, if it's a bit echoey, it's because we're in a building site at the moment. We hope to
Can
have
anyone them. Smell glue?
Yeah, there's people working around us all over the place.
Was that you bleeping or me?
Yeah, no, that was my phone going off.
Aren't you on airplane mode, Mr. Bunker?
No, don't worry about it, because I need to use my mobile
phone. Do I have to call you Mr. Channel or Mr. Bunker?
No, you can call me whatever you like.
Oh.
But basically, so things may or may not work. Unfortunately, you can't call the show today, because one thing that doesn't work is the phone. Sorry about that. But we're nearly there, and we're going to have a brand spanking new studio. We've got loads of building work going on at the moment. And as I say, it's a bit echoey, because...
Well, come on, then announce the news. You've given them a little tease, and you haven't really told them.
Well, let me finish speaking.
Go on, then.
Hang on, I'm just saying that we haven't got any doors, which is why it's all echoey, because you can
what
hear outside.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
You're chewing something.
No, I'm not. It's a bit worse than working with your mum.
Yeah, you're definitely chewing something on air, live.
You don't want to know. Yes, so let's tell our listener what's going on.
Hang on, do you want a fanfare, little trumpet?
Yeah, go on.
Have you got one?
What?
Haven't you got a trumpet jingle yet? No,
we will have some new jingles soon.
Mike made you a little trumpet jingle.
We are, as we're talking right now, working on new jingles. What is happening is we are launching a new radio station called Channel Radio on channelradio.co.uk. The Business Bunker will be one of the shows on that station. There's going to be a full lineup of 24/7 shows.
If you're staying up all night.
Yeah, 22 presenters we've got.
All in pyjamas.
Yeah, we've got a range of new shows, specialist music shows, talk shows, specialist shows, drama. We're commissioning local writers to write radio dramas for us. We've got a book at bedtime for the kiddies.
Oh.
Yeah, and all kinds of things. Yeah, we've got a full lineup of stuff, so do have a look.
Thespians.
I don't know if we've got any of those.
Yeah, you said thespians.
Oh, yeah, we have, yeah. Yeah, we've got some of those.
Politically correct ones.
Possibly. Yeah, so do check us out. You will always be able to listen to us on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but you can also get us now on channelradio.co.uk. The website is up and live. It's a bit rudimentary at the moment because we had to rush it up, but it will be there, and we'll fill it up with some content later on, but you can listen in via either method. But we're the new resource, your new community radio station.
Well, it's fascinating.
Absolutely.
You haven't mentioned my new
show. We're going to get onto that, because you're going to do that.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, because...
I'll have to make that up then, because you know all about it. More than I do.
It's your show.
Yeah, I know.
Jules is going to have her own show.
Yeah.
Yeah. She won't work with me anymore. She flounced out in a huff, listener.
Yeah.
I went, I'm never working with you again.
Well, it has been 2 years of every week some drama or other, frankly.
Absolutely.
I think you thrive on a bit of drama.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? I'm a drama queen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Cool.
I've got one here, Paul. This is interesting.
Oh, were you going to tell us about your show first?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Shall I tell you now?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say it in the first half now because Angela Bryce Stevenson's going out at 1:30.
So she needs to know.
Okay. So I am very proud to announce that I will be running, starting a food show for all of the listeners. As you know, over the last 2 years, Paul and I have devoured, if you look on Facebook, you'll see many a picture of Paul devouring muffins, cakes, curries, Ruffle Wife cider,
crisps,
Tay Wells ice cream, Hilda Marie's delights.
There is photographic evidence to support that, listener, except the camera can lie, I have to tell you.
Well, do you remember Paul's Deli Belly?
I do.
There was no way that was planted.
I did eat that.
Yes, you
that
did.
That is very true. I did eat that. I ate the whole box of that.
More than your fair share.
Absolutely. But that was nice.
So the plan is to support Kent local food, of which there are many artisans. So if you have a food project that you'd like to get on air, do email me at jules@pressupgroup.com or get in touch with me via Channel Radio.
Cool. Good. Well, we've had a few tweets in already. Shop on your doorstep. Hello, Business Bunker. We won the highly commended for best sales, I won the highly commended for best saleswoman in 2012 at Mumpreneur 12 on Sunday for shoponyourdoorstep.com.
Well done.
So well done to you. Brilliant.
Who is that?
Shop on your doorstep.
That is Shop on Your Doorstep.
Shop on Your Doorstep sent that to us, yes. They're an online shop, obviously.
Yeah.
I think they're based in Whitstable, I think.
I think they might be.
Yeah, I think they are. But they're an online shop. Shop on Your Doorstep. And whoever's behind that won highly commended for Best Saleswoman 2012. Brilliant. Well done.
I'm sure she'll tweet and let us know her name.
I'm sure
I think
she will.
I know it, but I'm just having a bit of a vague hour.
Are you?
Well, because you've had me running around looking at climbing over glue, piles of glue and things.
I knew it would be my fault.
Yeah, I can smell glue. I feel quite dazed by it.
Yeah, it's because...
A bit lightheaded.
It's because what they're doing is putting the soundproofing up and they're sticking it to the walls, yeah. Which is why it's all echoey.
Yeah, don't lean against the wall.
Read an email.
You know who else I've heard is coming on in at the end of October on Craig's show?
Yeah, go.
Steve Harley.
Yeah, we today is the launch of Channel Radio, but we're going to have a big launch party. And in 2 weeks' time, we have Gary Kemp from Spandau Ballet coming
Fantastic.
Into the studio.
And an actor as well.
Yep. The week after that, we have Steve Harley, Cockney Rebel.
Can you hear a hammer coming through the studio?
Yeah.
I must tell you, Bunker Listener, that... it is going to be state of the art because we're actually being soundproofed as you listen to us. We are being soundproofed and it's all going to be very efficient. We've got screens up on a little pole. We've got four screens. They're all flashing away with things. So, and of course, I didn't say, Paul, about my food show.
No, go on.
If Bunker listeners want to tweet me with a name for my food show, because I haven't even thought of a name yet.
Blimey.
If they want to tweet me, when I get the winner, I will give them a prize.
Do you know what the prize is going to be? It's not that damn meerkat.
A giant meerkat is appearing at Chilham School this week, if you're looking for him.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to avoid him. He's been stalking me, that thing.
Pilgrim's Hospice, so dig deep in your pockets with giant meerkat. He's going with Liz Astoraki to the Chilham School this week. And then he'll be back with Hilda Marie at HMS at the Abbey in Faversham. And if you haven't been there and tried the food, you must pop along and
cool.
get a meerkat.
Yeah, it is good food there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Right, keep going.
Okay, so passenger flights from Manston Airport. Well, this is, I really want, because then I can go to Alicante a bit more easily.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's what we all want, Jules, to get you out of the country as quickly as possible.
Thank you, you're
that's
so kind.
Right. No, that's
Kent
right.
residents are being offered the opportunity to influence a decision that could mean a major European airline will offer passenger flights from Manston Airport. That's KLM, the Royal Dutch Airline, so you'll have to wear your little clogs if you go on that. It's merged with Air France.
That is not mandatory, listener, I have to say.
Eating Edam. Mm. Is considering operating twice daily flights from the Kent Airport to Schiphol. How do I say Schiphol?
Schiphol.
Schiphol.
Schiphol. Don't do the Dutch accent.
In Amsterdam. I don't know. I can't do Dutch.
No, you just sound like Steve McLaren anyway.
Which would link Manson to the rest of the world. Hurdy-gurdy. No, that's Swedish. Charles Buchanan, who is the chief executive at Manson Airport, said, as he munched his Edam, as part of our route development activity, we have been in discussions with KLM for some time. The airline has asked us to conduct a survey of local residents to find out what the level of demand is for the service. So there's an online survey, which you must do by 5 p.m. on Friday, October the 12th. Have a look at it. It's on www.surveymonkey.com/S Manston KLM.
Or it's easier if you just go into the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. On the very homepage in big letters, it says click here and you can do it.
See,
it's
that's
much
what
easier.
I like about you. So diligent. So go on to the Kent Business website after the show.
Or channelradio.co.uk. It's on there as well.
You know what you should be playing now after
What's
this? Tulips from Amsterdam.
Oh,
Max Bygraves. The flying time to Amsterdam is just 40 minutes. And from there, passengers will be able to go to more than 90 direct destinations worldwide, which is including Europe, America, Asia and Africa. So last year saw
so nowhere special then.
14. Oh, Africa. See, Hilda Marie. She could go. She could go to the bush. What's it called?
Veld. How many times?
The Veld. Yeah. 49.8 million passengers pass through Schiphol, making it one of Europe's busiest airports. Manson Airport currently has the capacity to welcome up to 1 million passengers a year, and its master plan estimates that passenger numbers could rise to 5 million by 2033. So you can also go onto the mansonairport.com website there. Although I did tweet them about 3 weeks ago, they haven't answered me yet, so I don't know who does their Twitter.
Who? Manston?
I don't suppose it's Charles Buchanan on his
own. I shouldn't think it is. I'm going to try and get Charles. I know Charles.
Well, do you know why I tweeted them? Because I was sitting there having a cheese sandwich and feet up a glass of wine. And suddenly
it was breakfast, was it?
Yeah. Suddenly this aeroplane came, you know where my house is, straight towards me, into my, practically through my window.
Yeah.
Really low.
What did you do? Go. Taxi! So, a la Kenty now!
So I tweeted them, wing walking. So I tweeted them, it makes a change from
you
service.
Just boggled my mind, go on.
I tweeted it, I said, my God, this, you know, low-flying airplane just practically came in through my, because, you know, my window's still open.
Yeah.
Well, you've been hanging out of them quite a while. You didn't make any money there, did you?
No.
So
it was better in Burton.
And this guy from Birchington that saw the same plane, and he said it was the same here, really, really low.
Right.
So I tweeted Manson. They didn't bother to tweet me back.
I'll tell you what it was. It was a big Russian cargo plane, because I saw it on the apron there, massive thing.
Whose apron? What apron?
Look, if you're going to get involved in air
transport,
if you're going to get involved in air transport, learn the malarkey.
I'm not getting involved.
Yeah, well, you are. You're tweeting the chief executive of the airport, complaining about his planes looking in your windows.
Charlie Buchanan. Yeah. I don't think he's actually listening.
He is.
But I am a great supporter of Manson, and so are you. We
absolutely.
Both are.
Yeah, no.
But you've been on the radio about it, haven't you?
I did a radio programme for the BBC about Manson Airport. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important that we upgrade Manson to the status of another London airport.
But do you think they could help with buses from places to get to Manson?
I don't think it's that much of a deal. You know, when you're considering building an artificial island in the Thames, or adding 19 more lanes of the motorway to the M25 so that you can actually use the third runway at Heathrow, adding an extra 15 miles of track to the high-speed train isn't exactly a big deal, is it?
You see, there was this huge thing with the high-speed train, wasn't there? But I know from Whitstable it's not actually that high-speed. Supposed to be, but it isn't really.
Yeah, but... Overall, though, if you think about it, getting a train from Ramsgate, which is where you'd be going, used to take 2 hours to get to London.
Yeah.
And although it isn't as high speed as a TVR train, you're still going to get to London in under an hour.
TVR.
Yeah. But
say it with a French accent.
No. But I'm being serious.
Say it in the style of the Bee Gees.
No. I'm being serious because it's still as quick to get to London from Manston as it is from Heathrow. Or Gatwick.
Yeah, exactly. And much
Stansted,
more pleasurable.
Yeah. And you're not on the M25. It's the only airport that isn't on the M25.
Yeah.
You know, so what's not to like? And it's got the longest runway in Northern Europe already.
Yes. Let's really get behind it. Perhaps Channel Radio, the launch, we can do some sort of campaign.
Well, I'm going to try and get Charles on the programme, actually,
to
talk about it some more. I'm sure he'll come on. But we're great supporters, as you say, of... enhancing Manson. So please do fill out that survey, whatever you believe, whether you believe me or Jules or not, and if you put the wrong answers, we'll take them off. No. do fill out that survey, because they really do need to know what you think.
They do.
Cool. Okay. I think I've got a couple more tweets.
I'm just thinking, well, those poor people trying to phone in, because I know that Liz Astoraki was going to phone.
Yeah.
And Paul Babra was going to phone to tell us about the Canterbury Food and Drink Festival at the weekend.
Okay. It's a shame that they can't phone in, but unfortunately we've got telephone problems, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do it next week.
Yeah. We are going to try and get our phone guest on, but we've got a real Heath Robinson way of doing that at the moment.
Two tin cans and a bit
of
string.
So if you were intending to call the show, thank you very much, but do tweet us instead.
At Vanilla Web,
yeah. Oh, by the way, Channel Radio has its own Twitter account now, if anybody wants to follow that.
Exciting.
Channel Radio LTD, Channel Radio Limited, LTD, all one word. Do give them a follow. I've got a walk in the garden. Hi, Paul. Can you tell listeners about a walk in the gardens support? A walk in the gardens, a magazine, for those that don't know. There can't be many people that don't know that, but it's an online magazine and a hard copy magazine. And they are supporting the Pilgrims Hospice. And all details are available on their website, which is all one word, awalkinthegarden.co.uk. So that's Michael from A Walk in the Garden. Have a look at their website. They are supporting Pilgrim's Hospice, which is great news.
Along with a giant meerkat.
Mm. Little Stour Orchard.
Ah, sounds lovely. Like one of your storybooks.
Yeah, they're new listeners, though, so I don't know that much about them. But we are labelling up our local new season apple juice, so now we do know something about them, for sale at Broody Food Fest. That's a Twitter handle. Broody. BROADIEFOODFEST. Sounds like you, Broody Food Fest.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. This weekend, grown and pressed by us. That's Little Stour Orchard.
You know what they're doing? Got little mushy apples in the bath and plodding along with their bare feet.
Do you think so?
I think so.
They say come along and support food producers at the Broadstairs. Oh, that's what it is. Broadstairs Food Festival. No, it does say that.
Is it a pun?
No, their Twitter handle is Broady Food Fest.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was...
You know who's going to be there, don't you?
Yes, Little Stour Orchard.
Yes, do you know who's going to be with them?
No, you.
No, Astaraki Sisters.
Oh, are they?
Riverford will be there, cool. Yeah.
I thought they were going to Tenterton.
They are, they're everywhere.
Blimey.
You're going to do a vox pop, aren't you, or am I doing
am
it?
Am I doing it?
Oh,
no, you said, can you borrow my equipment?
Oh, well, can I borrow your tackle?
You can borrow my tackle, yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
No, I keep it hidden away.
Probably on the yearly show, your anniversary, you'll get it out.
Don't go there.
Tackle.
You just lower the whole tone of everything.
The
all the time. No, I'm really pleased she's getting her own show, listener.
Can't wait to get rid of it.
Yeah, we can get much more professional then. She's pulling real faces.
But you know what he said, listener? He said that when I do the show, he's got to come in and help me, mm-hmm. Because he doesn't think I'm capable on my own. And I know it's just for sampling. He's going to be not the co-presenter, the co-eater.
Do you know what we're going to do now, though?
Play a tune?
We're going to do a bit of tunage. And then I'm going to attempt to get our first guest on the phone, but that could be a bit of a laugh.
Oh, don't hold your breath. Let's try.
Yeah, anyway.
And what are you playing?
A bit of this.
with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. A bit of Paul McCartney, Wings and Band on the Run. Hopefully we've got our phone guest on the line now, Charlotte Sweeney. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And it sounds like we're managing to survive with the technology.
Yeah, just about. Just to let our listeners know, we've got no phones in the studio today, so we've had to kind of cobble together a way of doing this, so we hope it holds out. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you get up to professionally?
Okay, well, thank you. There's a couple of things I do. I work with businesses, first of all, but then also work with individuals on a couple of different aspects. So for my business, I work with organisations and companies to think about what are they going to need to do in the future to support their employees. So things such as flexible working, what happens if their workforce... as their workforce becomes older, and I really focus as well on what their clients look like and what the services they deliver to their clients might need to look like in the future.
Right.
And then I also work with individuals about which really focuses on their own development, how they can progress in their careers, be that within a company or their own business.
Right.
And what are the skills that they really need to develop to get on, and I do that through the European Professional Women's Network, which is linked to another 20 cities across Europe.
Wow.
So it really gives you that ability and that opportunity to link with people, professional people from all over Europe.
Right. So if I remember rightly, until quite recently, you worked for some big city firms doing this.
Yeah, so for the past, and I know I don't sound this old, but for the past 20 years, I've been doing this for...
Never. Right, okay. And you've recently kind of branched out on your own, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. I really wanted to focus on working with smaller businesses rather than working purely with big corporates.
Okay. So, I mean, from your point of view, what are the major issues that you're looking at? What are the kind of things that you're addressing on a regular basis?
Well, some of the things that I'm really focusing on in businesses is how do they work a little bit more flexibly. How do they look at technology and help them to use that so that their employees can work flexibly? I think we hear a lot of information within the press about people wanting to work different hours or work from home, and I really work with organisations and small companies to look at how can they effectively do that.
Right.
How can they continue to deliver to their clients and give that level of flexibility for their people.
Okay, cool. What are the major issues around that you find?
Some of the issues are, a lot of people make an assumption that if you're not in the office, you're not working.
Mm.
And if you're working from home, you're doing anything but working.
Yep.
And it's really dispelling that myth.
Yep.
Because people are generally far more productive.
Absolutely,
than working
yeah.
from home. Yep. And they do get the other stuff done for their personal life as well, but they end up being far more productive. The other challenges I see are for people of a certain age around, I'd say anywhere around between 45 and 55, where people have the responsibilities of looking after their children, but might also have elder care responsibilities.
Yep.
And I really work with them on how do they manage all that within their personal life and still be able to do the day job or run their business.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And funnily enough, I'm involved in a business in Canterbury that provides a hot desking community. And one of the interesting things we get is home workers. So home workers who work for big corporates in London, but are working from home, but kind of pop into our office rather than their office, which is interesting, because it has all the benefits of home working and it also has the benefits of not being lonely. So that's a phenomenon that we've seen quite recently as well.
And you do see a lot of those places just popping up here and there. And I think for people that are working from home, it's great to have that space and that quiet time to do the work.
Yeah.
But you also want to be interacting with people. You want to be around people sometimes as well. So I think that gives the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's what the people that use us say. You know, they love working at home. They love being able to do what they do. And they are more productive, you know, not least of which they save huge amounts of commuting time.
Yeah.
which is one of the big benefits. But every now and again, they like to share a bit of time with other people as well. So it, they have the best of all worlds, and it does make them very productive. I totally agree. Cool. I mean, from your point of view, how much homeworking is going on? Is it on the rise? Are we having to persuade employers still? Or, you know, what's the deal? Where are we in the zeitgeist of it?
I think if you look at bigger companies, there's still a lot of convincing to do. And you will see companies such as BT and Cisco will have done a lot of work in this space, because if they can prove that they can do it, they can sell their products on to people to help them be able to do it within their business.
Yeah.
But I think smaller organisations, and small businesses have been doing it quite a while, I think. And they also see the cost benefits of it. Not only the individual benefits, but there are also the cost benefits to be had around either smaller offices or not having an office base.
Right.
And I think for smaller businesses, it continues to be on the rise.
Right.
I think the challenge is really getting big businesses to think about it too.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because you kind of, I don't know why, but you kind of think it was the other way around, really?
Well, yeah, you would have thought so, wouldn't you? But I think a lot of companies are very staid in the way that they operate. And I think we've been smaller businesses because there's that entrepreneurial vision as well. It's easier for people to move and to change and be far more flexible. And I think that's why it's coming out more in entrepreneurial sort of companies. I'm also seeing this in the individuals that I work with through the Professional Women's Network.
Right.
More and more people are wanting to work in smaller businesses because they like that flexibility and they like that feeling of entrepreneurship and being quite fluid and being able to run with their ideas.
Yep. So tell us a little bit more about the Professional Women's Network. It's a pan-European thing, is that right?
It's currently pan-European, and we're actually looking at expanding out in Asia and America at the moment.
Right.
I also say it's called Women's Network, but it's open to men and women, and we have a good mix of men and women coming to the events. And really what we focus on is creating development events and networking events for people that want to progress, whether it's their business or want to progress in a corporate. And we really focus on things like social media, how you get your message across on Twitter, how you work on LinkedIn effectively, how you use that as your calling card, how you really make effective pitches and presentations. And I know that was something that was mentioned on the program last week about having the confidence for presentation.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've heard a lot of stuff about that.
Yep.
How having sales roles has a positive impact on your CV and your confidence. And then we run a mentoring program that's based in London, but we do it virtually as well. But we also do that across Europe. So if people want to get experience and mentoring from people across Europe,
right,
we have that ability to connect people in that way.
Brilliant.
Well, that's good, because different cultures as well, then, you've got, haven't you? Different ways of doing business, perhaps.
Yeah, we've had some great examples of where people have connected across countries so that they can understand the different cultures, so they know how to pitch their business.
Mm.
And that's been really, really valuable. And I think the other great thing about the network is we have events that people can attend. We have a lot of information online, and we're really focusing on the technology bits and having more webinars and conference call facilities. But as soon as you become a member, you have access to all our members, which is around 4,000 across Europe at the moment, which enables you to start to make those connections in different countries, which are valuable for anybody in business.
Cool, yeah. I mean, it's really fascinating stuff, Charlotte. We could talk about this for a long time. I'm a bit kind of concerned that my Heath Robinson phone thing here isn't going to last much longer.
He's also getting arm ache, Charlotte.
Yeah,
he's holding up the phone. He's being very diligent, Charlotte. But when you're next down south, perhaps if you let us know, we could come into the studio.
I was just about to say, I hope you're not stood in the middle of the studio on one leg to make sure that you keep a signal in some way.
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
He's got a coat hanger on his head to get the signal.
I'd love to see that. You need to take a picture and put I'll put that on Twitter.
Yeah, oh, she will, don't you? Trust me, Charlotte, she will. She will. Look, thank you so much for joining us on The Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you, Charlotte. Can you give us a shout for a website, or have you got any way we can contact you?
Yeah, so the European Professional Women's Network website is www.europeanpwn.net/London. And I'll send you the information so that you can add it onto the website so people can make connections.
Fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant. Charlotte, thank you so much for
I want to ask Charlotte one thing. Charlotte, if you were going to the pub tonight with your mates from Leeds, how would you say it? Would you say, "Ayok, going up to Bath at Jar"?
I
really do.
Do you know what, Charlotte? I when she started to talk to you, I thought, blimey, she's going to ask a serious question.
That is a serious question.
No, it's not.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Are we off to the pub?
There you go.
Don't they say up to bar, foot jar?
No.
Are we off to the pub?
Off to the pub.
Off to
the
pub.
Well, you get off to the pub now. And thank you so much for joining us, Charlotte. Sorry about that. And we'd love to talk to you again. And as Jules said, if you're down our neck of the woods,
ever
you're welcome in the studio.
Jar.
Don't give it a rest. We'd love you to join us in the studio.
I'll practice a few more Yorkshire words for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You come to you send us a picture. Send us a picture of your flat cap and your whip it.
Oh, I will.
Thank you,
Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte. Have a great day, and thank you for joining us on The Business Bunker.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on your announcements, by the way.
Oh, brilliant.
Thanks,
Charlotte.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. So, Charlotte Sweeney there of the Professional Women's Network and Diversity and Inclusivity Consultant.
Very, very interesting about
stuff.
Homeworking. Yeah. I was trying to send some Twitter pictures at that time, but that's why I was waving my phone around.
I know, but what was happening is I was using my mobile phone and you were tweeting me and that's why it was pinging.
Oh, so they were going through?
Yeah.
They're all in my drafts as well.
Yeah.
So you probably got 85.
Yeah.
It was a BT one I sent you. It was very important.
Oh, good. Okay.
From BT.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they've actually answered me.
What did they say? Get lost.
They said, tell Vanilla Web to contact us.
Oh, really?
And invite us on the show. Channel Radio.
Okay.
Tell us about your bank manager. That was interesting. Santander.
I knew I shouldn't say that. It was really funny.
Tell me the story.
Listeners, Channel Radio is a completely new venture that we've set up, and there are three of us that are in partnership with the radio. And, of course, we just started the company last week and went to open a bank account yesterday. And the bank manager was sat there, and he said, "You know,
he was sat there.
He was sat there with us in front of him, and he said, you know, what's your projected revenues?" And we said, you know, square all or nothing. And you know, and he said, "What's your projected profits?" And we said, "Less than that." And he said, "Oh, well, what experience of radio have you got?" So,
oh dear,
Well, Craig. I went, well, you know, I've been presenting radio shows since Noah was nailing planks onto his boat. And and Kevin said, I've worked in the music business for 150 years and have, you know, met everybody that's ever lived, including Elvis.
Yeah.
And anyway, whatever. And I went, and I present a Business Bunker show. And he went, what, you and Jules Circuit? And I went, yeah. He went, I listen to that every week.
No, I'm not.
John Siddle, bless you, mate.
John Siddle.
If you're listening, John, bless you.
You're the best
bank manager in the world.
Let's send him a ginger.
Yeah. So,
when you channel radio, will you still have a ginger? We'll have to get
because the Business Bunker show is staying.
So you'll still have gingers.
It's just that we're broadcasting as one of the shows on channel radio.
Okay. I was thinking might have to have blue sort of wavy ones.
No, we can have lots of different ones now.
Yeah.
I think we'll do another email or two, a couple of tweets, and then we'll talk to our studio guests. What do you reckon?
I think Julian should be wheeled on very soon.
I think so too.
There's a fan at evening at the G Casino. This is from Amanda. It's manana, actually, the 3rd of October. This week's foresight will be from Inspirational QJ, titled How to Sell Yourself and What You Uniquely Do. It's a lesson in how to market your unique talents in a difficult marketplace. So this is Joyce from Coombers Sewell Enterprises. I hope I've said that right. Coombers Sewell will also be in fine voice after her 4-meeting sponsored silence. So she'll be making up for lost conversations, particularly in her one-to-ones. And that, well done for raising money for Porchlight there, Joyce. See you there, says Amanda at Holgis Consulting, who's the group leader for the 4N Thana evening. And details of that will be on the Bunker website after the show.
Cool. I've got a gazillion tweets here, and some of them are quite a laugh. So I'm going to read them, and then we're going to talk to Julian.
Okay. But you are going to be my co-eater, aren't you, on the food show?
Yeah, possibly.
Because I won't be able to twiddle my knobs without you. That's the trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll produce the show for you, whether I present it or not. I mean, I don't mind doing the production.
Hang on a minute. 2 years of chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, and you're going to produce my show.
Yeah, absolutely. It was not my fault, was it?
Oh, my God. No, none of it was, of course.
Well, it wasn't, was it?
So you say.
I'm not in charge of the technology.
I'm not sure if one more really existed.
We've got a new technical genius on board now, yes. Mike Thompson, yeah. Who's absolutely brilliant.
I know. Blessing. I've given him my card.
And he is a radio technician beyond...
Well, I can tell the difference already from the mics.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, once we've finished the building work here, it's going to be awesome.
Who's tweeting you?
Everybody in the world.
We're BT?
No, I haven't had BT. I've had everybody else. Rebecca Oliver, Vanilla Web, Jewel Circuit, Channel Radio, Business Bunker listeners. So exciting on the breaking news. Yeah, thank you for that. Akita, we would love a shout out for any Kent businesses looking for IT support or cloud computing. That's Akita Limited. HMS at the Abbey, Diwali Festival of Light, Bollywood Music.
Diwali. Diwali.
See, the problem is, if I'm going to do this on a mobile phone rather than the screen I normally do it on, I ought to have brought my glasses, really, didn't I?
I know, I could see you just pulling your screen further and further away.
Yeah,
hang
Diwali.
On, we could go to that, Paul.
Yeah.
Dress up, Bollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Paul Babber, isn't it, doing the Diwali?
I don't know, but this is HMS at the Abbey. Diwali Festival of Light, Bollywood music, authentic dishes, all-you-can-eat buffet, 10th of November.
All-you-can-eat?
That's what it says, all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well, that's right, up your
they
screen.
They don't know you're coming. George might come. get the cauldrons out. All you can eat buffet, 10th of November, 6 p.m. Booking essential. You can book on 01795 229 714. That's 01795 229 714.
Right, well, we're going to go, aren't we? Bollywood, we're going to do that. Dress that up.
Cake and cakes.
Yeah, going
hi,
to that too.
Hi from Cake and Cakes. All info, cakeandcakes.co.uk, or find me on Facebook. We'll love you to share my business. Thanks, Claire. There you go, Claire. That's cakeandcakes, allonewordcoco.uk. Liz Asteriki, thanks to all the lovely people who came and said hello at Riverford Stand at the Canterbury Food Festival at the weekend. And please give a shout out and ask everyone in Tenterton to come and visit the Riverford Stand at the Folk Festival in Tenterton this weekend.
So they'll also be at the Broadstairs one.
Yep.
As the last email that you read out a while earlier.
I'm getting around to that. And now we're getting on to the tweets about your rubbishy accents.
Oh.
And first of all, I have no idea what I'm saying here.
What rubbishy accents?
Well just bear with me here,
right?
Because I'm going to read this, and I have no idea what I'm reading.
It's from someone in Leeds.
No, it's not. It's from someone much nearer to home, and the fact is, I have no idea what this says. I have no idea how to pronounce it, and we could be off the air in 5 minutes flat.
Right.
But it says Jewel Sirkin, ya sissy ya moot prat.
Now
guess who
Hilda
that is?
Marie.
That is Hilda Marie, and that is a bit of Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And I think she said, "Get lost say with it, your silly accent."
Say it again properly.
Oh, I got it.
Ya sissy.
Hold on.
Ya
sissy ya moet moo prat.
Oh,
I've got the last bit.
Well, I got the moet in that.
Yeah.
Moe.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
And then Liz says, tell Jules their accents are lousy.
Oh, dear.
As if we didn't know.
Oh, dear.
Chris at CBBS. The Honey Producers, Broadstairs Food Festival. That's in response to me not being able to pronounce their name earlier. Some mob at the Bexley Heath Salt Cave. Free sessions at the Salt Cave, Bexley Heath. Great for asthma, sinusitis and hay fever.
I think that might be the lovely Corinne doing that.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Hi, Corinne. Sally Laker. Calendar signed by Hollywood Baker.
Ah.
Yeah. Only 60 copies signed, £20 each, in donating to Pilgrims Hospice, for Pilgrims Hospice and going fast.
That's Paul Hollywood. Must be. Paul Hollywood. not a baker in Hollywood, is what I mean.
No, no, it's like Paul Hollywood, the baker, yeah. The famous baker. Yeah. Yeah, but that's his Twitter handle.
Hollywood Baker.
Hollywood Baker is his Twitter handle. Keep up.
Only asking.
All right. Anyway, you can win a signed, you can buy a signed calendar, and all proceeds, that's the word I was looking for, go to Pilgrim's Hospice.
And maybe a loaf. He might throw in a loaf, mightn't he? With a knob of butter.
Absolutely. And CBeebies has been on again. We will be selling our honey at the Broadie Food Fest.
Tell him to be Hive. He's sweet, though, isn't he? Sweet guy.
It's another jewel sting. Sharing the stall of at Little Stour Orchard. Oh, cool. Aww. Come and taste great apple juice and cider and some honey. Fantastic.
It's a small world.
Sounds good.
I think I'm doing a live recording at the Tenterden one.
Yeah.
With your tackle.
Are you?
Yeah.
Blimey. I'll say no more about that. I think I've got a gazillion more.
Well, you're going to get RSI on your thumb scrolling.
I am, and I really would like to speak to our studio guest now.
I think it's time we got Julian out.
I think it's time we spoke to Mr. Julian Donnelly of James Rosa Associates. Julian, welcome on to the Business Bunker.
Pleasure to be back.
Thank you for your patience and being in this building site.
Enjoying the glue.
Yeah, it is very gluey, isn't it? Anyway, tell us a little bit about you and a bit about James Rosa Associates.
Well, I'm the MD of James Rosa Associates, and quite simply, we help people deal once and for all with unmanageable debt. So be they private individuals, company owners, or just the companies themselves.
You couldn't help the government a bit, could you?
There are plenty smarter people than I have tried and failed. And, don't even get me on that soapbox. I'll be here all afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's an issue that it's always been prevalent, but especially these days, it's really a big issue, isn't it? Managing debt and stuff like that. So, tell us about the kind of things that you kind of come across the most, or the kind of issues that you deal with the most, or, you know, the most common things you deal with.
Well, to be honest, I mean, there's a whole wide array of cases that we sort of see. And at the moment, we're actually finding that we're doing a lot more negotiation.
Right.
So that the lenders and also the revenue are actually far more willing to sit down and actually sort of discuss and get a solution forward that doesn't involve kind of courts.
Right.
Whereas historically, it would have been go straight to courts and straight to bankruptcy.
Yeah, absolutely.
For instance. So, there's a bewildering array of options out there for people. So our primary role is to kind of educate the client.
Mm.
As to sort of all the options that they have available to them, the mechanics of exactly how it all works, and the pros and cons that apply in their own unique circumstances. Mm. So that way they can kind of make an informed choice about the best way forward for them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, because it's a highly emotional time for people as well when they get to that level of financial problems, and they don't always make rational decisions, not least of which they don't know, what way to go and what the options are, as you say. I mean, can you give us a flavour for some of the kind of things that you look at? I know you can't talk about individual cases, obviously, although, what are the kind of solutions on offer for people that find themselves in financial difficulty? And before you answer that, do you deal primarily with personal debt or business debt, or
both?
Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes they can overlap quite a lot as well.
Well, particularly with the smaller businesses, when you're dealing with owner-managers, that they are absolutely linked together. So you can't sort out one without looking at the other.
Yeah. So from your point of view, what are the kind of solutions, what are the kind of areas that people could start to look at when they're facing liquidity problems or debt problems or financial problems?
Well, I think the key is really, don't stick your head in the sand. Mm. If you see a problem coming, engage somebody as soon as you can. Because obviously the earlier we kind of get engaged, the more options are available.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get the call at 11 o'clock at night saying, I have a client who's got a home repossession hearing in the morning. What can you do? Uh-huh. Well, I can wish you luck.
Yeah.
There's a limit to what you can do. But, I've actually been through bankruptcy myself. So I do appreciate and know exactly what it feels like to be where the clients are.
What does it feel like?
It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Mm. It really, really is. Because obviously, you always kind of plan what your future is going to be like, either personally or in business. And all of a sudden, there's this big gaping black hole in front of you.
Mm.
But, I was fortunate enough to have a professional walk me through it. And that made the whole process a lot more, I wouldn't say easier, but a bit more straightforward. I had that kind of peace of mind knowing that there was somebody there at the end of a phone.
Mm.
It's great to actually sort of share that with our clients that we have to kind of take down that particular route.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But, you know, what we do find we're doing a lot of at the moment is actually negotiating settlements out of court.
Right, okay.
So, you know, people are, as I said, are a lot more willing to kind of sit down and sort of talk turkey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you find, I'm thinking corporate-wise more than personal, is a lot of it to do with the inland revenue and customs and excise and those kind of things? Is that where a lot of the debt is originating? Or is it, you know, more across the board?
Well, I mean, it's. I would suggest that, you know, a lot of our sort of commercial clients, you know, the revenue does tend to be one of the larger creditors.
Mm.
But again, you know, the revenue has shown an awful lot of leniency in recent times,
right,
time
okay.
to pay arrangements. Obviously, there comes a limit to what they can do in that respect. But, you know, it's a very challenging trading environment out there at the moment for everybody, you know, particularly with what's going on in Europe. You know, with everything that's going on in Greece and Italy and Spain, Portugal, etc.
Absolutely.
And of course, next year, you know, apparently a lot of France's debt's going to mature in the marketplace. And without the AAA status, you know, I wouldn't like to even predict where that's going to go. So,
Yeah, it could all possibly end in tears.
Well, I think too much has been invested in terms of sort of time, effort and money. So I'm sure it will get resolved at some point. But, you know, I mean, it's so hard to predict what's going on. It's the longest recession that I've ever experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird. I've been in business a long time, and this is my third recession, and it is totally different to anything I've ever been through before because it doesn't seem to have a rationale behind it. You know, like the first one was the oil crisis, and everybody knew what the cause of it was and what the solution to it was. You just had to wait until it came about. And the second one was the exit from ERM eventually, and the lead up to that. So everybody knew about that too. But this one, you think, well, okay, it was a banking crisis. That happened. The government bailed out the banks. Now what's happening? But it just seems to rumble on and on and on and on. And the funny thing with this one is I talk to lots and lots of business people, and they say, no, business is good. Yeah. But, you know, we just don't have any confidence that it's going to stay. And I think there's a lot of confidence in this one as much as anything else. But I wanted to come back to something else you said earlier, which was, you know, when you get to talk to people, sometimes not until quite near, you know, the 11th hour, as it were, you made reference to the fact that they actually took on board that they had a problem. How much do you find that a lot of people end up in problem because they just don't pay enough attention to their finances as they go along? And again, I'm thinking business more than anything here. I see so many small businesses that have no idea what their income and outgoings are. They don't tend to have a budget. You know, they just muddle through until one day they go to do something and there's nothing in the bank. I mean, is that something that happens a lot or not very much?
It's not uncommon. You know, you can see a client and to get a picture of where they are at in their business on that particular day, it's, well, let's have a look at your management accounts, and they look blankly at you and say, well, what are they then?
Yeah.
So it's very much about having, you know, the management having visibility about what's going on within the business.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the smaller businesses, it's not uncommon for them just to look on their online banking and sort of say, oh, I've got that much money to spend.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So step us through. I'm kind of focusing on this debt. Is that primarily the core business of James Rosser Associates? Is the debt management?
Well, debt management itself is not something that we would do in-house. It's something we would outsource to a trusted third-party organisation.
Right.
I mean, first and foremost, it's about educating the client
right.
as to what we can and can't do,
right.
and what they can and can't do, some of which we do in-house, others we do with partners.
Right, okay, cool. And presumably you offer a range of services and things like that. You know, how broad is the service that you offer? What kind of, do you do financing, for instance? If I came to you and said I needed money, can you help me with that? Or,
well, no, we're not a jack of all trades by any stretch of the imagination. You know, we just focus on what we're best at, but we develop working partnerships with as many professionals as we can in specific fields so that we can give whole of market advice either directly or through, you know, our approved and vetted third party.
Right, okay, cool.
Can you give us a sort of scenario of how you've helped a business recently, or, you know, don't have to mention names, but of how you've helped someone?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I had a gentleman that we were dealing with had a rather large debt that was secured on his house and backed up with a personal guarantee. And, you know, if the bank weren't going to sit down, it could have ended up in a bankruptcy and everybody would have lost out. But,
yeah.
You know, fortunately, the bank sat down. We kind of worked through it and we got a deal together that worked for everybody concerned. So, you know, he saved a bit of money. The bank got as much money back, well, a lot more money than they would have done through a formal process. So, you know, everyone was happy.
Absolutely. Do you think that the banks are more inclined to sit down and talk about these things, or in fact any creditor is much more inclined to sit down and talk about these things, because an organisation like you is involved?
Well, not really. It's insolvency in general is fairly quiet itself during recession, which I know sounds a little bit strange to people not in the industry. You kind of assume you're in insolvency, bad recession, you guys must be really, really busy.
Yeah.
Well, no, because basically the clients need to feel a kind of critical mass of pain before they really engage and take those tough decisions to kind of move forwards.
Right.
And to be honest, you know, with everything that's been going on in the kind of banking sector and the broader economy, I mean, let's face it, you just look at the banking sector, you know, from the bailouts and then, you know, the PPI, and after that was LIBOR, and then, you know, some of the banks getting accused of money laundering. It's kind of never ending. So
absolutely.
I think, you know, the banks are trying to sort of do some sort of reputational repair work. And again, it's very much more a commercial decision. You know, let's stay out of court because we'll get more money back. They'd rather take 80 pence in the pound that's on the table than go to court and take 20 pence in the pound after costs, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just on the banking thing, I think there are a few more things to come out there as well. One of my alma maters has got themselves into a little bit of trouble.
Oh dear.
Once again. Yeah, quite rightly. No names, no pack drill.
Come on, tell us.
No, not. No. It's in the papers. I mean, well known for it. It's an interesting thing. I want to ask you about, there's been a lot of movement in the last couple of years on trying to make it easier, and I apologise for focusing mostly on business, but talking about people's personal finance is kind of harder, isn't it?
Because it's another show.
Well, yeah, but you know, people with personal debt can be all kinds of things. There can be a gazillion reasons why people have personal debts, but quite often business debt is fairly similar kind of pattern of behaviour. You know, you spend more than you earn, you borrow to try and do something, it doesn't come off, and you end up with a problem. Or for small businesses,
or you open a radio station.
You open a radio station and dig a giant black hole and throw cash down it until somebody says, stop doing that. That's an idiot thing to do. Absolutely. But I wanted to ask you about things like pre-packs and whatever they are, voluntary thingies and stuff like that. Whatever. That's very technical, that, isn't it?
It's very technical.
voluntary thingies.
I can see you studied this in some depth.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm an expert on this, but I just wanted, you know. Can you give us a little bit of background to what those kind of things are in terms of ways of handling the closing down of a company that's in trouble?
Well, again, there's a bewildering array of different ways that you can do that, you know, through various types of liquidation or company dissolutions. And you touched on a pre-pack administration. That is where a company is found to be trading in an insolvent position. It goes into administration, but there's a buyer already waiting in the wings to buy that company out of administration.
Okay.
You know, generally speaking, you know, that can quite often return the best value for creditors.
Yeah.
Because in a smaller business, it'll be the people that have kind of been running the business, etc., that have put their kind of lives into it.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most value to them, and obviously a larger business, it can, you know, go out and it to the highest bidder.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the same thing as a voluntary doodad? I can never remember.
Doodad.
Company voluntary arrangement.
That's what I was trying to think of. Company voluntary arrangement. CVA.
Absolutely. That's exactly the same as an IVA for a personal individual, except it applies to a company rather than an individual.
Right.
So it's exactly the same process.
Okay. And are you finding more people are opting to go that route these days? Or is it, you know?
Well, generally speaking, you know, a lot of it can be done early enough. It can be done with a negotiation. But, you know, sometimes you've got to look at it and you've got to look at the books and sort of say, look, you are trading whilst insolvent. You know, that is a criminal offence. So you've got to look at closing things down or doing something pretty drastic about it right now.
Absolutely. Do you know, it's funny you should mention that, because I mentioned that to someone the other day and they went, nah, don't be ridiculous. And I said, no, absolutely. It's one of the few things in company law that trading, because people were asking me about the roles of a director in a company, and I said it's one of the few things that if you knowingly trade when you're insolvent, that is a criminal offence. And they went, well, that's ridiculous. And I went, no, it is. It's one of the few things that you're liable for. It's
well, very
true,
much
isn't it?
So. I mean, and if you're found guilty of wrongful trading, you know, you personally as a director of the business can be liable for all the debts of the limited company.
Yeah.
What about all these rogues that just go around setting up companies and then going bankrupt and then setting up another one and another one and just, you know, owe lots of people money? That's quite common, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, you see that a lot on Watchdog. Probably not so much these days as you used to. But again, one thing these guys do seem to know a lot about is the insolvency law. So the reason they get away with it is they do it properly. Mm. You know, I always sort of say clients come in two guises, those that can't pay and those that won't pay.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, the guys that can't pay, we will do everything we can possibly to help them. Those that won't pay can go elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, because I've lived through it myself,
yeah.
Now we'll not see the system abused.
Mm.
But like any legal process, it can be open to abuse.
Sure.
And there's always loopholes. You know, there's some smart cookie that's always going to work out ways and means of getting around things.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how long have you been doing this, Julian?
Well, my background, I spent 9 years at one of the major high street banks, and I've been in insolvency for 6 years. So,
okay.
You know, some time now. And as I said, I kind of made the transition through my own bankruptcy. So
right.
It's a bit of a baptism of fire, but, you know, it's something that I feel very passionate about.
So did you get involved in this purely as a result of that?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting,
so
isn't it?
So it inspired you?
Yeah.
From what
so.
You'd been through.
Yeah. Mm. Were you inspired good or inspired bad, if you see what I mean? And what I mean by that is, you know, did you think, blimey, this is awful, I could do a better job of helping people through this? Or did you think, wow, without that kind of help, I would have been a complete mess, so I'd like to do that? Do you see, Lou?
Very much the latter. Very much the latter. I mean, sort of like the market is full of a lot of great firms. You know, there's some great IVA companies out there, great debt management companies, but there's not many firms out there that offer full market advice.
Right.
So, and when you come to sort of doing a bankruptcy, quite often it's, you know, you get sent out to get the forms and kind of do it yourself, which of course you can do.
Mm.
But again, it's always nice to have the option of having somebody there to kind of walk you through it. It's you know, sitting next to somebody when you're in front of a judge, being declared bankrupt. You know,
it's not nice.
It's a very powerful thing. It's
yeah.
a very powerful thing. I mean, when we go and see a personal client, for instance, and after a sort of 3 hour consultation, it's decided that, no, we are looking at a bankruptcy situation.
Mm.
But when you explain exactly what it means, what the consequences are.
Mm.
You know, you go from turning up and their head is in their hands to, you know, big smiles because they can see a way out.
Yeah
absolutely.
Know, it's really about giving them their lives back,
yeah.
which I'll say is a very empowering thing to do, and it's something I treat with great humility.
Yeah.
I think it's a very emotional thing, isn't it? Because, especially for guys, you know, failing at something. And yet, if you think about it, a lot of the greats, I mean, Richard Branson, all of the greats really that I can think of have failed at business at some stage and picked themselves up and started again. But it's also the way it affects the whole family, you know, wife or kids or school, if you've got kids in school and things. Mm. It's very emotional, isn't it?
Well, very much so. I mean, you know, it's financial difficulty is one of the sort of biggest contributors to relationship breakdowns.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, a bit of name dropping. Some years ago, I spoke on the same platform as Tom Peters, the US management consultant and author of In Search of Excellence, amongst other things. And I taught him everything he knows, and he said this. He said, if you haven't failed, you're just not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
And that is a particularly American trait, that they do respect failure a lot more than we do in this country.
Mm.
But it is true, you know, an awful lot of entrepreneurs have failed, not once and not twice. You know, because it is a risky business. Entrepreneurship, a very risky business, and it's therefore not surprising that you have failures.
Mm.
Well, you know, I mean, as an angel investor myself, more of my investments fail than ever succeed. Well, you just, you know, try to hedge your bets that the ones that succeed cover the costs of the ones that fail.
Mm.
Doesn't always work that way, but that's the way it is. Julian, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Give us a shout for your website.
Yes, www.
it's getting, we're all overpowered.
Keep sniffing, Julian.
Yeah, we're all laying about on the floor here, listener.
You'll come through the other side if you keep sniffing.
Yeah. Absolutely. JamesRosa.co.uk.
Cool. And there is a link to that on the Care Business Radio website.
R-O-S-A.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
JamesRosa.co.uk.
Cool. Julian, thank you for that. Please stay with us and see out the rest of the show. We haven't got an awful lot of time, but feel free to join in. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No, absolute pleasure. We've got another gazillion tweets, Julesy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure we've got quite a few emails still to read as
okay.
well.
Do you want a tweet or email first?
You go with an email and I'll catch up with me tweets.
Kent Channel Chamber events. This is Thursday of this week. Last chance to book. Raising finance for your business. There you are, Julian. That's a good one. This is an evening seminar at 7:30. Meet the major banks, business angels and Kent County Council's expansion East Kent programme. This sounds really interesting. And it's at Dover Town Hall in Biggin Street, Dover. There is a phone number, 01303 270022. Call Tracy on that, and that's the Kent Channel events this Thursday, raising finance for your business. Plenty of advice there from major banks and business angels. October the 10th on Wednesday, it's your last chance also to book for the B2B Expo in association with RK Group, and that's 10 to 4 o'clock at the Ramada Hotel in Dover. Free visitor entry, contact Liz Hare, and that's liz.hare, H-A-R-E, at localbusinessroadshow.com. And that includes also, there's a chamber networking lunch there at 12:30, and members, it's £17 plus VAT. All details will be on the Bunker website after, as always. And Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin. This was something that came up on Twitter. It was the lovely Imperius Babinkley. Say it for me, Paul.
Imperius Blablinky.
Blablinky. He sent us a fantastic picture. He has been a guest on the show. He also opened the Kent Business tweet up, the lovely David Philpott, who's chairman of the Kent Institute of Directors and also the Kent Air Ambulance.
He was. He's now with Wiltshire Air Ambulance.
Keep up, Jules. But he tweeted us a fabulous picture, Twit Pit, with Cameron, Debbie Cameron, who's at Cameron_Debbie. And they're out in the Uganda orphanage helping the, they've got this fundraising trek to Mount Elgon. And he said, as promised, a picture of me wearing the Business Bunker t-shirt, the ginger, at New Beginnings Orphanage in Uganda. So they are looking for sponsorships for next June, aren't they, to climb?
Yeah, we will be telling you more about this over the coming weeks and months. Mm-hmm. But David is organising another expedition, because he's back from Uganda now. He's ordering another expedition to Uganda next June, and they are looking for Kent businessmen who want to join with them, and business people who want to join with them and go out to Uganda to help with the construction of the orphanage. And they're going to Mount, what's his face?
It's the Mount Elgon.
Elgon, that's
E-L-G-O-N,
the chap. They're going
in
to Mount,
Uganda.
They're going to Mount Elgon next June, I believe. But we will keep you up to date with that. He does fantastic work out there. Mm. And as Jules says, he posted some lovely photographs of him with the kids from the orphanage in his bright orange Business Bunker t-shirt.
Yeah.
So much respect to David for all the work he does in Uganda.
I'm sure he'll come on the show again soon and tell us all about it.
He will indeed. And certainly leading up to their next expedition, because they do want some support with that, and we are happy to help with that too. And fair play to them. Brilliant stuff that they're doing out there. I've got a few tweets here.
Spit it out.
I don't know that I ought to, really. I know, poor bloke, just having bigged him up, now somebody's given away his Twitter name. My bank manager is actually known as Argyle Sid.
Argyle Sid?
Sid, yeah. I think that's because he's a Plymouth Argyle supporter.
Right. Anyway. So just Argyle Sid, no underscore.
No. That's his Twitter name,
everybody,
Argyle Sid.
Everybody follow him because he's lovely.
Yeah. Well, Angela Brower Stevenson of Another Journey Begins has just tweeted, Argyle Sid, hey, heard you mentioned on the Business Bunker Radio by Vanilla Web. Uh-huh. I'll take the credit for that.
Have you run back, Angela, just to hear the show? Well done. See her in a little...
I got a tweet from the Meerkat and I'm not reading that.
Come on, what's he saying? At Meerkat for you. Yeah. He raised £40 at the for Pilgrim's Hospice on his own at the Riverford stand at the Canterbury Food and Drink Fest. All on his own.
Okay.
What's he saying?
Yeah. Great news, peoples and dear friends at Business Bunker. Looking forward to appearing on your new shows. Love all of the Meerkat. Listen.
You're supposed to say that in an accent, aren't you?
No.
Yeah, simple.
You've got to see this thing, Julian. This meerkat is like 9 foot tall.
He blundered into the studio.
He was sat there. There was no room left for any of the rest of us in the studio.
He's coming next week, because this week he's in Chilham, and then he's at Tenterden. Then he'll probably hitch a lift back with you from Tenterden, and you can bring him on Tuesday here, can't you?
Yep. And we've also, I've got a tweet from Billy Dean, following on from what Julian was saying.
Oh, Billy, I've moved offices and it's all going swimmingly, I have to report. You'll be relieved to know.
Cool. He was saying, Albert Einstein, quote, I didn't fail, I just found 50,000 ways not to do it. Which is brilliant. And Kevin Hadlow, hi Paul, look forward to seeing everyone at our charity night on Thursday this week, 5 to 8pm, £1 a ticket to launch their Xmas range. And that's from Kevin Hadlow.
Did you know what, Paul?
What?
We are coming to the season.
Don't start
with
that.
Kevin.
Don't start the C word.
Autumnal.
Don't start the C word.
No,
with
the
me.
Season of the gilet.
Yeah,
back.
No, I'm not going
autumnal.
Down.
Autumnal. Kevin, he'll tell you.
Anyway, let me do
it's
this.
It's time to get your gilet out of mothballs, dust off the lavender, ready for fireworks night and all that. Carry on.
Kevin Hadlow is looking forward to their charity night on Thursday this week between 5 and 8pm, and it's £1 a ticket, and it's to launch their Xmas range. So I guess that's at Dobby's in Gillingham, because Kevin's the general manager of Dobby's in Gillingham.
Yeah.
So I think that's Dobby's in Gillingham this Thursday night, 5 to 8pm is the launch of their charity night.
Although I am actually now favouring, rather than the gilet, I am favouring the cloak.
Today we will mostly be wearing a cloak.
I've got my cloak here.
That's a poncho.
Well, if you're Mexican, it's a poncho.
You can't fool me, Sirkin. It's a poncho, not a cloak.
I didn't know you were Mexican.
It's not...
Andrews.
Don't even go there. It's not a cloak. It's a poncho.
Talking of Mexican, I saw Andy Settlefield at the last week at the Abbott's Barton Brownies. Hooden's horse.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was he all right? Did you say hello?
Yeah, he loved the meerkat. He loved the meerkat.
Good. Well, Andy... It's all yours. When should we deliver it?
North Kent B2B Conference and Exhibition is the 6th of November coming up. From start-up to established businesses, there's something for everyone. Taking place at the Woodville Gravesend and also the Construction Expo, 11th of October, new business opportunities are waiting for you. Exhibit at the largest construction event in Kent, bringing together clients, contractors, developers and other key related industries across London and the South East. It's taking place at the historic dockyard in Chatham, so you can sail down there if you want to. And also the business growth show is on the 2nd of October. Oh, is that tomorrow?
Yep.
Manana. Taking place at the East Marling, do I say Marling or Morling?
Morling.
East Marling Conference Centre, East Marling.
East Morling.
Come along, and there's no W in there, and meet
Morling.
Colin Davies, morning, and Louisa Felstead, the lovely, from the Chamber. Chamber members will receive a 20% discount off exhibition stands. Details on the bunker show after, on the website after the show, but it's www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk for those.
Cool. I've got an email here from Debbie Hunt. And it's subject Ben, four birds and a bloke.
Right.
It all started with a comment from a client about women drivers. Oh, dear. My good friend Kerry rang a few weeks ago and said, you're up for a challenge, Deb. I know I can count on you. And how could I say no? And Kerry has now organised us into a team to enter four birds and a bloke for the fantastic Ben, B-E-N, karting championship on the 7th of October at Rye House Kart Speedway. Helped by Rob Murrells, a professional racing driver, who I have to say is the fifth driver and has his hands full, is helping four novice ladies to beat 25 other teams. With none of us ladies ever karted before, we need all the help we can get, and this is where you come in. For every £50 raised for Ben, the automotive industry, we are able to knock off our lap times. And quite frankly, that's the only way we can come in the top five. So there's a 50... For every £50 raised, they were able to knock off their lap times. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, so a plea for the industry. Join together now, my fellow contacts, and help us raise money by sponsoring Four Birds and a Bloke. And you can do that by going to justgiving.com/four-birds-and-a-bloke. So I'll read that again, and you have to put hyphens in the last bit. I'll tell you where. It's justgiving.com/, and then four birds and a bloke, and four birds and a bloke are hyphenated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wasn't really listening because I'm reading my next press release because it's a long one.
Oh, good. I'm glad you weren't listening.
Well, I'll listen back tonight with a glass of wine.
No, don't worry.
Beaujolais boys, yeah, they're sending me lots of wine now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah.
Ian, that's Liquid Lounge in Tenterden.
Yeah. My food show.
Oh, no wonder you're coming to Tenterden at the weekend. Yeah. You're popping into Liquid Lounge,
yeah,
aren't you?
I will. And they don't do Nobby's Nuts, they inform me.
No, but I do Tagwell's ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Businesses are being urged to make their breakfast the best in Kent. Hotels, B&Bs, pubs, cafes and all businesses that serve breakfast in Kent and Medway are being urged to sign up for a new scheme aimed at promoting the use of the county's produce. Kent Breakfast is a campaign being launched jointly by Visit Kent and Produced in Kent, who also organised the fantastic Canterbury Food and Drink Festival that we had last weekend, which was great and well attended. It aims to encourage the breakfast makers of the county to ensure that at least 60% of the ingredients used are sourced from within Kent. So for more details of this is a long press release, but more details, you can contact Liz Sibilia, S-I-B-I-L-I-A, of Visit Kent. The Kent Breakfast campaign is being supported by funding from DEFRA, which is the Rural Development Programme for England. And the first workshop for interested businesses is Wednesday, October the 24th at Penshurst Place. And the next one is November the 14th at Brogdale near Faversham. For more info or to register, it's www.visitkentbusiness.co.uk. Also, November the 14th is World COPD Day, which is chronic lung conditions. And there is a free opening
evening.
If it's
chronic lung thingy,
yeah.
Why is it COPD?
I knew you'd ask me. It's something like chronic pulmonary or omnery something. I don't know. Chronic lung... yeah, you've got me, haven't you? Chronic lung problems. I don't know. It's probably something Latin.
Find out.
But I will. November the 14th, there's an open evening at the Cave in Bexley Heath. Perhaps Julian can come. I'm looking at him there. It doesn't work on radio. November the 14th, open evening, all free at the Bexley Heath Salt Cave. If you want to know more about things like asthma and what's the other one? Emphysema. That's what COPD used to be called in the olden days. Your dad, Vic, would have called it emphysema. But
really?
Now it's COPD.
Is it?
It's a whole sort of apron.
Is it?
That's the second time we've got apron into our show, Paul.
Blimey.
And the other word I was most impressed with was Zeitgeist. You got
Zeitgeist.
That in.
Yeah.
It's you got that in.
It's my word of the week.
Yeah.
Cool. I have no idea what it means.
What does it mean?
It means the here and now. It means what's happening, what's occurring.
There was a shop on Clapham Common called Zeitgeist.
Was there, really?
Yeah.
What did they sell?
Everything and anything.
Right, okay.
Young entrepreneurs are being offered free membership at Kent-based Business Enterprise. Pure B2B, it's not a networking group, they're keen to point out. It's a focused, supportive hub of like-minded individuals who meet at some of Kent's leading eateries to share resources and advice for mutual business benefit. If you want to know more about this free membership for young Kent-based entrepreneurs, go on to the website, which is www.purebtb.co.uk, and contact the team. And that will be on the Bunker website, of course, after the show.
Cool. Well, Kevin Headlow's given us a bit more information.
On Gilles?
No, on his charity night.
Cloaks?
Because he says there's also loads of cakes for Jules too.
Ah,
yeah.
Just the one, Kev.
Yeah, and tickets are available in the store. And they've also got a ladies' night on Thursday the 15th of November. Hairstylists, beauticians, demos, etc. Again, it's £1 a ticket, all for charity. And there's also a...
say it again. Pound a ticket.
Get your tickets here, ladies. Buy one, get one free. Come on, ladies.
Get your gilets.
You know you want one.
Get your
gilets. Yeah. It's one of... Yeah, whatever. And there's also a special offer on... yeah.
Gilets.
No. Wait for this. Bog off. Buy one, get one free breakfast at Dobby's. Hey, you can't ask for more than that, can you?
I think I actually pass it when I'm on my way here if I go a certain way. I think I passed Dobie's.
Not the Gillingham store.
No, not that one. There's one at Ashford, a new one.
There is one at Ashford, yeah.
But Kev's always at the Gillingham, doesn't he go around?
No, he's the general manager at Gillingham.
Okay.
Dobby's Gillingham.
So he doesn't sort of circulate?
He probably does, but not within Dobby's.
or Dobies. On the 15th of November, for the first time ever, the public across England and Wales will elect, I can see you, you know, will elect police and crime commissioners who will be accountable for how crime is tackled in their police force area. Two-thirds of small firms experiencing crime and fraud at a cost of up to £3,000 per business each year. Police help and engagement is critical to reduce this burden and barrier to growth. Will businesses in Kent receive this help in the future? So question the people wanting to be the police crime commissioner for Kent. So this is at 6:30 on Tuesday the 30th of October, Hilton Hotel, Bearstead Road, Maidstone. No charge, but booking is essential. And you book at Kent, at 3 W's, kentpccquestiontime.eventbrite.com, or contact Sue Waldcock, 01622 688 134. Details will, of course, be on the bunker after the show.
Brilliant. Kevin says we're better than Ashford.
Ah. I'm sure you are, Kev.
Yeah, and we also had Karen Williams.
I bet he's sweeping the yard now, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Washing it down.
We had Karen Williams from Avocet Recruitment.
Hello, Karen.
She was talking to Argyle Sid, and she said, Argyle Sid, you got a mention on the radio today from Vanilla Web.
So does everyone know this bank manager?
Apparently, yeah.
Angela and yeah. Karen. Karen, is your hair up like it is in your twit pic? I do like that. She wears her hair very fetchingly.
She does indeed.
Up in a little bun.
She's a lovely, lovely lady.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do an email.
Go on then.
The Avante Partnership has had its annual review, and the Avante Partnership is based in Faversham, and it's embarked on a 5-year programme of investment. It's a charitable trust, and it's one of the Southeast's biggest providers of care and support for the elderly, those with dementia, and young people and their families. And the trust is planning new development and modernisation to meet the needs and aspirations of those requiring residential care and support. The aim is to provide modern working environments for its thousands of staff and volunteers to continue to innovate. During 2012, Avante Partnership has supported over 3,000 customers in its 15 care homes in London, Kent and Sussex, and employs over 2,000 people. Its 50 volunteers have provided 2,670 hours of support. And it has delivered training courses.
You can't breathe, you know.
It has delivered training courses to nearly 6,000 people in care and support of others. And the Trust is proud to have taken on 6 apprentices this year, building on its reputation for providing employment for local people and giving young people a chance to enter the rewarding world of work. If you want to find out any more about them, you can find them at www.avante, that's A-V-A-N-T-E, partnership, all one word, avantepartnership.org.uk.
Great, isn't it, when you hear about apprentices being given a chance there. Well done.
Absolutely.
3rd of October, that's manana. Best Western Russell Hotel in Maidstone, the Marketing Mindset Group Coaching Programme from the Purple Edge in Canterbury has given many Kent-based SMEs the skills and confidence to improve their marketing to achieve real results. Not just a training course, but in-depth coaching programs where you will learn as you work on your own business. Details, contact Jim Hunt at thepurpleedge.co.uk. Hi, Jim.
Cool. I just want to tell you about Business to Business Expo and Roadshow at the Ramada Hotel Dover. That will be one of Mr. Trevor Bond's hotels.
Yes. Little Australian.
That's in Singlage Lane, Whitfield in Dover, and it's on Wednesday the 10th of October, and it's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the business-to-business show for East Kent, including the Channel Chamber lunch and focusing on how to access the Expansion East Kent loan. And there are local suppliers, networking and guest speakers. And the guest speakers are Jackie Ward and Tony Baines of the Kent Business Academy. That is on the 10th of October, Wednesday the 10th of October. And you can find out about that from their website, which is thelocalbusinessroadshow.com, or you can go to the channelchamber.co.uk and find out about the business-to-business show on the 10th of October at the Ramada Hotel Dover. There's also tomorrow, 3rd of October, the Canterbury Tweet Up. At the Miller's Arms. You're invited to the Miller's Arms pub in Mill Lane by St Radigan's in Canterbury. There's a car park opposite the pub, and it starts at 10 a.m. and goes on till noon, and it's free to attend.
And so, details of that at kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk as well. You can find that one.
So they're all on that website.
Yeah.
They, okay, cool.
With the lovely Arga Gordon.
Absolutely. So do get along to that. That's tomorrow, 10 o'clock at the Miller's Arms.
We had a good one at Lenny's, didn't we? Good
we
turnout.
We did indeed, yeah. It was
23 people.
Yeah.
With Oliver, Mr. Playfair, giving his talk.
Demonstrations of his Lamborghini parking.
I know. Came straight into Lenny's in his Lamborghini, straight up the stairs.
Yep.
Light Up the City for a 5K, a 3K, 3 kilometre dusk stroll, or a 5 kilometre run. I only do yards, you see, it's my trouble. Run around the city walls and streets of Canterbury, starting in the Danejohn Gardens. This is for Pilgrims Hospice, Saturday the 20th of October. Go on to pilgrimshospices.org or call Canterbury 812-621. Please wear something that lights you up, wigs and flashing torches, etc.
Cool. We're getting lots of nice feedback on Twitter now. COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
That's what I said, pulmonary.
Obviously.
I said pulmonary. Oh, it was the obstructive bit.
It's a lungy thing.
Yeah, it's the I tell you, it is. What do they say? Because it is a really distressing.
It's chronic. Case. It just says COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
And who's that from?
4N Canterbury.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, 4N Canterbury, do come along to the Bexley Heath Salt Cave as my guest. And try
and explain it to her in simple syllables.
Used to be emphysema in my day.
Karen Wilkins has been on.
Is her hair up?
Yeah. I used to work with Argyle Sid at Business Link. and to Jules, ooh, thank you, re my hair.
Yeah, love her
girly
hair.
Girly blush.
Yeah, love her hair.
So presumably Karen's still got her hair up.
Yeah. Does she ever let it down?
I'm not going there.
I think she might be the type of girl that would let her hair down.
I'm not going there. Kevin Hadlow, any interested businesses that want to get involved in our ladies' night to do demos, etc., please email manager.gillingham@dobbies.com. And especially for Jules, we have a Justin Timberlake lookalike on the night.
Really?
Yeah, there you go.
In Timberland.
Yeah.
And a gilet.
And a gilet. And he will be wearing a see-through gilet.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
I will be actually coming in my cloak on that evening.
Your poncho.
Yeah, my cloak. North Kent B2B Conference and Exhibition is on the 6th of November. From start-up to established businesses, there's something for everyone in one place in one day. Meet buyers and key decision-makers face-to-face. Best way of gaining new business. This is at the Woodville Gravesend. It says click here for more details. I hate that on radio, don't you?
Yeah, I try to remove those and put the actual things in.
Well, you haven't done it here.
No, I probably edited it.
Anyway, it'll be on
5 o'clock this morning.
It'll be on Bunker show after on the website.
It will.
And there's another one that says click here, so I'm throwing that in the bin right now.
Okay.
October event, Cheryl Hawker. Hi, Cheryl. Put the 5th of October, the Friday, in your diaries. Networking lunch will resume, she says. And Four Networking will be there. That's fournetworking.biz. This is on Wednesday the 5th and Wednesday the 19th of September. Oh, that's gone. Sorry. These are all September. They're going in the bin.
So you're reading last month's.
You know why?
Why?
Because there was a kerfuffle today. I didn't get a chance to go through these. And then the lovely Julian came and I had to ignore him because there were all sorts of crises going on.
Hmm. Yeah, there was. We can't, with 4 minutes to go, these could be famous last words. We kind of ridden most of it out, though.
We
really
have. I do think it's sounding better. I don't know what Bunker listener
thinks. Oh, the quality of
the mic is better.
The quality of the sound is better and will get better still. Mike, from Simplecast, who are our technical providers, have done a number of interesting things. We've upped the broadcast streaming from 64 kilobit to 128 kilobits.
I could tell that.
And as I said, that's 1,000% better.
Yeah.
And my eldest son, being the pedant that he is, said, actually, I think you'll find that's 100% better.
Ah, Jamie, the brainy one.
Yeah, the brainy one of the family. It is right. But the sound quality from that alone is fantastic.
Mm.
We've got brand new mics, and there's two more mics coming over there. For next week, which will improve the sound quality.
Will this be
again.
My food studio as well?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
We are intending to build a second studio for Channel Radio, but we need them to build the building for it to go in first.
Mm. We need to get the llamas out first.
The alpacas are moving.
Oh, yeah, alpacas.
Up the field a bit.
And what is the difference between an alpaca and a llama?
About a foot.
Which one spits?
Both of them.
Okay.
Except that the alpacas look really cute and then they spit at you.
Yeah.
Whereas the llamas look like hairy camels and then they spit at you.
Oh, I quite like hairy camels. That's why I work with you.
Thank you. That made me laugh. No, we will be putting in a second studio because we're going to be doing media training and stuff down here as well. And also so that we can set up shows in advance. So the quality, the overall quality of the studio, the broadcast quality, the sound quality is now really at a professional level. If we could ever get a door on the studio so it didn't echo. Now, I know you've got a door, but there's not. Oh, thank you. There's a door that needs
there's
to go
my
on
door.
Here. And the soundproofing hasn't been finished in here yet. We need to put soundproofing tiles on the wall. But we're getting there, and we're very hopeful. It's gonna be.
Don't forget, listener, to tweet me at Jules Serkin ideas for the name of the food show.
Yep.
And I'd like to thank Hilda Marie and Riverford and Lisa Marie Settle for supporting me in this. So I'm sure they're going to be my co-eaters, along with Paul Andrews, who's going to be my co-eater.
Hmm. I mean, we've got a number of talk shows lined up and our normal music shows as well. The ones that I can tell you about now are a food and drink show, a gadget show, a sports show, children's stories.
Listen with Mother.
Kind of. Listen with Corin, actually.
Andy Pandy.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Oh, we'd love to have Andy Pandy.
No, they are children's bedtime stories. It will go out at children's bedtime every night, just so
lovely.
That you can put the kids to bed to a story. Mm. And original drama. And we've already got Craig's playwright in his own right, and he's written a couple of things. But we've got some others, a guy called Nigel Banks from Whitstable, who's in fact written a play. So
it'll be a zeitgeist, won't it, this channel radio?
It will be.
Zeitgeist.
It will be a happening kind of
place. Go on, say it in the style of a German.
No.
Say it in the style of a BG.
Although it's a German word, it is not used by Germans, it's used by cool Californians more than Germans.
Okay, say it in a cool Californian way.
No, I don't do accents, Jules.
You do?
You know that. No, I don't.
Say it in the voice of the Elephant Man.
No, I'm not, and I'm not saying Bath or Giraffe either.
Fine. Curmudgeon.
Okay. Kevin's just tweeted, Kevin Hadlow,
Kevin of Hadlow, you
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what food show? So he obviously wasn't listening to the beginning.
Kevin, we're going to be having a food show on Channel Radio with me presenting, and Paul Andrews has very kindly offered to show me how to work the knobs. And I'm asking Bunker listeners to send in some name suggestions, because I don't want to call it the food show.
No.
Something original.
Scoff.
That's
something
nice.
Like that. Scoff.
Yeah, I'm liking
That's
that.
What we're called.
But there will be a prize to whoever comes up with a name.
Yeah. I've got, talking of food, I've got this come through as well. It's the Christmas menu from HMS at Abbey.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, what's she having?
Well, the Christmas menu is this spiced parsnip and honey soup with apple fritters.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm hungry already.
Yeah, I love that.
Oak smoked mackerel pate with horseradish mousse and beetroot jelly.
Can you say it in a South African accent?
No. Ham hock roulette. Christmas piccalilli and home roast and homemade toasted bread.
Ooh.
And they're just the starters.
Ooh.
I'm full already. And then the main course is herb crusted turkey escallop, turkey dark meat and cranberry and chestnut stuffing, roast potatoes, festive vegetables and mulled wine sauce.
Mulled wine, I think you said. Sorry. Carry on.
I left school when I was 14 to get away from picky teachers that kept picking up with me, and all I end up is working with one. Chestnut, roasted red pepper and red Leicester parsnip.
Chestnut roasted. Go on, say it in Bing Crosby.
No, I'm not doing a Bing Crosby.
Go on.
Roast potatoes, seasonal vegetables and tomato and basil sauce.
Andy Williams?
Pan-fried monkfish with olive, lemon and parsley, crushed new potatoes, seasonal vegetables and caper butter sauce.
On my food show.
Cool.
Called Scoff.
Because you can't do it now, because guess what?
We're out of time.
We're out of time. We've reached the end of the show, thank goodness. You've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-presenter, Jules Serkin. You heard from Charlotte Sweeney, our phone guest, and Mr. Julian Donnelly from James Rosa Associates. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Meantime, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you all soon.
Can you get that alpaca out of the studio?
Can do.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker. Keep you amused.